Hello and welcome to another episode of InnoSpin Interviews. Today I'm joined with Dr. Daniel Collins, who has over 30 years of medical industry experience and is a co-founder of Cyta Medical Design Group that specializes in isolation and culturing of cells. Dr. Collins, thank you for your time. It's a pleasure having you here on InnoSpin Interview Series. Could you please tell a little bit more about yourself and your company?
I'm Daniel P. Collins. I'm a PhD. My company is called Cyta Medical Design Group. I started the company in 2010, although I had started a previous company called BioE, which I started in 1993. My company specializes in isolation of cells and culturing of cells, and we have developed particular cell lines from human umbilical cord blood that we have immortalized using a gene for TERT, which is an enzyme complex that helps repair the end of chromosomes. So it basically what it does is it takes these very primitive cord blood cells that have a lot of abilities to be transformed into other cell types and immortalizes them so that, say, if we turn them into a liver cell or a lung cell, they are now immortal, but they still have the same function as fully mature and functional liver or lung cells.
Dr. Collins, could you please tell us what is industrial collaboration for you and for your company? And what are the different models like out-licensing, co-development, and consulting that you experienced?
Actually, it's been all of the above. We have developed technology. We have collaborated with other companies. We have licensed that technology. For instance, we had developed a system for processing umbilical cord blood for banking and also for transplantation that basically gets debulks the cord blood, gets rid of all the red blood cells and most of the fluid. So it gives you a very small cell pellet that you can then freeze down. But the recoveries of the cells are extremely high, that way in the 90%. So they're much better than any kind of other cell isolation procedure that we've come across over the years. Basically, we work very closely with other companies, but we also work very closely with academia, mainly because of their interactions with the clinical community and also their expertise in specific areas that we are working in. Again, it's our interaction with people who are clinicians that will either use our products or help us improve them, or at least give us advice as to the nature of how the product should behave and function. So those are our main interactions that we have. Licensed technology, we have developed technology for other companies in collaborations, and we have also had products that we have sold on the open market too.
You mentioned that you collaborate with academia. Could you tell us how do you set the collaboration process?
Okay. Well, luckily, because I've been working with the university for 30 years now, I have a lot of interactions and people who I've gotten to know over the years. Most of them are involved in the Stem Cell Institute at the University of Minnesota, but also one of my closest collaborators is the a liver expert, hepatocytes, and he helps me guide me in through some of the research that I've been doing in order to make sure that the cells that I am creating behave exactly like mature hepatocytes. But they can be grown forever, which is very nice because you can maintain the functionality of the cells without them changing. They don't change genetically. And so the characteristic functional behavior, biological behavior of the cells remains the same. And we've been growing these cells for 14 years now.
As we all know, this area is very specific and demanding. Could you please share what were the challenges that you faced and how did you overcome them?
Anytime you're working with two organizations that have very different shall we say, internal policies, There has to be ways to find them to be able to collaborate without interfering with a culture of either organization. So that often takes quite a bit of skill in learning how to deal with, especially as a commercial organization trying to work with the academic. They have quite different ideas about how business is operated. So it takes quite a bit of understanding and cooperation to be able to come up with the right ways to address those particular types of communications, number one, and also coming to agreements on the value of the technology and what can be done with it. Because sometimes organizations like academics, et cetera, may have a different idea about what the value of a particular technology is as compared to the commercial organization, which has to manufacture it, have a support team that can cover technical problems that could possibly arise with each technology and interact with the customers. So that takes all that burden away from the academics per se, but they need to also be involved to make sure that the commercial organization is doing things properly and promoting and teaching the technology in the right way.
And lastly, would you encourage researchers from academia and startups to collaborate with industries, and what would be your advice?
Well, absolutely. One of the things with academia is they come up with some really wonderful ideas, but they don't always know what to do with them as far as commercialization. Now, they do have technology transfer organizations at the various universities, and I'm certainly working with the one at the University of Minnesota. But they're not always very adroit at getting business situations set up well. So it's really important to be able to find a good organization that you can work with that can help you transfer your technology and get into the widest use possible. That's why commercialization is important. Is that if you have a really wonderful technology, you know, if you could think of like CRISPR or some of these other things that they're devising to come up with cellular therapies for cancers and things like that, it's the companies that have enough money to be able to commercialize those technologies and then be able to distribute them most widely. So it gets the good into the widest number of hands as possible.
Dr. Collins, thank you very much for your participation. I'm sure our listeners will find this interview very useful and interesting.